paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss.
Welcome to the Nickel, powered by Pro Football Focus. Brought to you by DraftKings.com. I'm your host, Jeff Radcliffe, back in the saddle again. Week two already underway. Crazy, crazy, crazy week behind us. Crazy week ahead of us. And there's a lot going on the defensive side of the football. Of course, make sure if you're paying attention to the offensive side, and you should be, that you're listening to the rest of the shows, the PFF radio shows, the Fantasy Slant. And then if you're dabbling in daily, we have a DFS show for NFL and for college. So make sure you're listening to those shows. But we want to talk about some IDP, some defensive fantasy football. So we're going to dive right in. And actually, I think it probably might be beneficial if we recap a little bit of what we saw last night before we get into the weekend. That's kind of one of the benefits of doing this show on Fridays, is we get to take a look at these things. And, you know, last night, again, we saw, well, Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware are really good. They're a great tandem, and this defense is, it's looking pretty stout. They're actually blitzing! Imagine that. The Broncos blitzing and it working. Go figure. So DeMarcus Ware racked up 5 quarterback pressures, and Von Miller 6, and they're going to continue to be really in quarterbacks' faces all season long. They're both obviously guys who you want to roster in big play scoring leagues. And if you get a little DeMarcus Ware DL eligibility, then of course he's going to be relevant in really any format there. Not a fan of that. He's an outside linebacker. Not a fan of players getting eligibility when they are not that position, right? Let's just give Andrew Luck running back designation, because he's run the ball before. Yeah, I don't get it. But I'm going to keep banging the drum for that one. I think players should be classified what they are. Until we come up with a better system, this is what we have to deal with. So, the more important thing here, the more interesting thing for fantasy purposes, is when we take a look at the box score, and you look at the Denver side of the ball, you're going to see that Brandon Marshall had 5 total tackles, 4 solo. Okay, you'll take it. You don't love it, but he got that forced fumble at the end, so you'll take it. But Danny Trevathan was the one who led the team with 7 total tackles, all of them being recorded as solos. It was a really solo-heavy night. 54 total tackles for both teams, 50 solo tackles for both teams. Solo-heavy night. But here's the thing, and I'm getting lots of questions about Trevathan. Should I drop so-and-so for Trevathan? Should I drop Telvin Smith for Trevathan? Should I drop Michael Kendricks for Trevathan? The answer in really almost any of the situations is no, you shouldn't. And here's why. He's not playing every down. Now, I think we may see this change going forward, especially given how poorly Marshall actually looked in coverage last night. But for now, Marshall is playing every down. Now, he played all but 4 snaps for Denver last night in week 1. Same scenario, played all but 4 snaps. Trevathan was coming off the field. And what we're seeing essentially, and he played a little over 50% of the snaps last night. It was close to 60. And that's right where he was in week 1, too. He played 55%. So we didn't see any fluctuation from week 1 to week 2. We're seeing him come off the field in dime packages, and we're seeing Denver go to these dime packages pretty frequently. That's a little concerning. Now, could this be an issue of managing Trevathan? Yeah, it very well could be. I mean, we saw last year, banged up, wanted to get him back on the field. They got him back on the field, and boom, injured again, done for a season. And this is a team, let's be really clear, that is in a playoff window still. This is a Super Bowl window still. Yeah, okay, all you Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning is done! Well, come on. Last year at this time, Tom Brady was done too, and we saw how that worked out. Peyton Manning isn't done. Peyton Manning can't play under center behind that offensive line. I don't know who can! Peyton Manning is not done. And he showed it last night. As soon as he started playing in shotgun, looked much more comfortable, wasn't having happy feet, more crisp throws. Is this guy going to be able to sling the ball 65 yards down the field? No, but when was he ever able to do that? Peyton Manning's still one of the smartest players in the NFL, and he showed it last night. And they're still in that playoff Super Bowl window. So defense is what's going to really help you out. I mean, look at last year's Super Bowl. What won that Super Bowl? Was it a 45-point averaging offense? No, it was a defensive play. So, of course, you're going to want to focus on these defensive players and make sure you got your guys there. So I think this could be a little bit of managing Trevathan right now. Remember, we're only in September. So at this point, if you own Trevathan, yeah, keep him. Are you running out to pick him up? I don't think I would just yet. I want to be patient here, being patient, thinking about this in the long term. You have to win every week. You don't necessarily need to win every week. You need to win in week 16. That's what you need to win. But you want to go week to week, but also keeping your eye on the big picture here. And right now, the big picture with Trevathan, I think, therefore I am, I think that he is going to get back into an every down role. I think he is the better player in coverage over Marshall. But for now, Marshall still appears to be the healthier of the two and is going to be the one who's playing every down. That means Marshall is the one who we want for fantasy purposes, at least for now. So we'll keep an eye on this. I'll continue to update you, of course, every week as we continue to go through and get more and more information on this situation. Shifting to the other side of the ball, the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, hey, they look good. They did. They brought a lot of pressure. It shouldn't be any surprise there, Justin Houston. Continuing to be the player we know he is. Derek Johnson struggled a little bit against the run last night. Nothing to be concerned about. I mean, you might look to the box score, you know, and you see the box where you see, okay, well, he didn't do that well. Two total tackles, but that was largely a product of this run game that just wasn't able to generate anything. Wasn't a lot of opportunities for Derek Johnson. I think he's going to be just fine going forward. More importantly, he was the guy playing every down, continued to be Josh Mwaga, just a base down guy. And then, you know, updating a little bit, interesting, we saw Eric Berry getting the start along with Ron Parker. So good to see Berry back in there as a starter. So everything will be just adjusted here. He started over Hussein Abdullah. No Tyvon Branch, and that's really what we expected to see. But, you know, really awesome to see Eric Berry back in there. Now, of course, everybody's going to be asking, what do you expect for Eric Berry? You know, he can be now in that streamer category. You know, we have this sort of elite. We have the next tier of, you know, weekly DB2s, and then we have DB3 streamers. That's really where I'd position Berry right now. And again, I'm playing this cautious, but that's by design. Berry was good, you know, and I'd like to see a little bit more out of him before we can actually say anything, you know, say that he is, you know, back to quote-unquote fantasy relevance. I mean, he's there, but I'm not running out to pick him up. You know, the defensive back position is so streamable that, you know, I think you could easily overspend on Berry. Ron Parker still led the team in tackles in terms of the defensive backs. So something to consider. Otherwise, that's really kind of the big takeaways from this particular contest. You know, you're not going to read too much into anything else here. There really wasn't anything else of IDP notes. So I want to dive into all the info for this week. We got a lot to cover. I'm going to try and speed through it, though. And I guess the starting spot would be with Luke Kuechly. Luke Kuechly is doubtful. You know, he left last week after 32 snaps. He had 7 total tackles and a sack. In those 32 snaps, he was awesome and then was concussed. He's in the protocol. He's listed as doubtful. That means he is not going to play this weekend. AJ Klein will get the start. And it was actually Klein that was in the sub packages with Thomas Davis, not rookie Shaq Thompson. That was a little interesting there. But Klein played really, he played very well. 6 total tackles on the day. Thomas Davis was very impressive as well. Thomas Davis now is you know, borderline LB1 for this week. I might even be comfortable just sliding him in the back end of that top 12. Klein, consider him sort of like an LB4 plus. Would it shock me at all if he puts up LB3 numbers? No, but then again, I mean, we have to consider the competition here. I'm not really a fan of this Houston run game without Arian Foster, so are there going to be enough tackle opportunities to sustain both Davis and Klein? That's where it gets a little iffy. But, hey, if you're a Luke Kuechly owner, well, I mean, that's tough. It is. Concussions are always, you know, a tough thing to deal with. But Klein, if you're really desperate, might be a guy who you could plug in there and at least get replacement value. Otherwise, hey, if Thomas Davis, and I know he's floating around on some waiver wires, Thomas Davis would be a guy who I would certainly look to immediately. Now, I guess I'll just kind of fly through each team and some of the stuff that that really stuck out to me. And look into Arizona, and maybe we'll go alphabetical here. Arizona, you know, this was a situation where we totally expected to see a lot of defensive backs on the field, and we're seeing basically 4 defensive backs on the field pretty much at all times. Tyrann Mathieu and Deion Buchanan played every down. Tyrann Mathieu was really good, and then Rashad Johnson and Tony Jefferson were about 80% each. So that we're going to continue to see this. This is really essentially what they're going to try and do, because they're doing, and we saw this with Rex Ryan as well. It's the whole reason why Corey Graham, and by the way, Corey Graham concussed after one play. Oh, it was going to be a huge game. But it's the same reason why Corey Graham was moved to safety. Rex Ryan said, I want to get my best players on the field. Well, that's exactly what Arizona is doing. They're getting their best players on the field. And that means 4 defensive backs, because they're really struggling at linebacker. Kevin Minter was in for most of the game. He did rotate with Sean Weatherspoon for a series. Minter looked good, but hey, you know, we've learned so far, you know, with Minter to not trust him. He's very unlikely to see an every down role. But looking, you know, to this situation, Mathieu and Buchanan still would be the priority guys. We're going to see some weeks where Johnson and Jefferson do put up some decent fantasy points. But outside of deep leagues, probably not going to want to rely on those guys. There could be a lot of volatility from week to week. In Atlanta, Paul Warlow, baby, continue to rack up those tackles. Now, keep in mind, that, of course, was against the Eagles. And lots of tackle opportunities come against the Eagles. But 13 total tackles, 9 solos. And both he and Justin Durant playing every down in that game. Justin Durant is, consider him a low-ceiling LB3. William Moore, not the best of games, but he put up 9 total tackles. Now, keep in mind, great matchup against the Eagles, but Moore is back in that DB2 conversation, so you do like that if you took a shot on Moore, or if you're looking for a guy. He gets another decent matchup this week against the Giants, but more importantly, it's in New York. And hopefully you're checking out my tackle report. Remember, what I do is essentially project the tackles, total tackles awarded, solos, and assists awarded by crew. So for each team, I give you a projected tackle number, and these are usually pretty spot on, which is not tooting my own horn by any means. It's just suggesting that the tackle crews are very predictable, and if you can predict opportunities, you can essentially predict how many tackles are going to be awarded each game. Atlanta and New York, the Giants, project as the 2 highest this week. That's good. That's very, very good. So another potentially good day for Paul Warlow, another potentially good day for William Moore, Justin Durant. These guys will be, you know, putting up some tackles with that very friendly crew this week. In Baltimore, Terrell Suggs gone for the year. That's a really tough torn Achilles again for Suggs. So what we're going to see is Elvis Dumervil is going to be out there playing essentially an every-down role now, so he'll be playing the Suggs role. And we saw what Dumervil did last year, 17 sacks as a situational guy, so this is good for Dumervil. We'll see an uptick in his tackle production, and certainly a guy who we're going to want to roster in big play leagues. We'll also see a little bit more of Courtney Upshaw, But we are. But the addition of Jason Babin into the mix, I mean, Babin is going to kind of take some of those pass rushing snaps from Upshaw. So that's really where Upshaw struggles anyway. So this makes a lot of sense for Baltimore. Jimmy Smith, well, he looked pretty awesome in coverage. This is the Jimmy Smith we had expected against Denver last week. 8 tackles as well. I think the tackle numbers will fluctuate, but there is going to be some opportunity for Smith to put up some decent IDP numbers in cornerback required leagues. So he's very much on the fantasy radar in that format right there. Going to Buffalo, I mentioned Corey Graham. Oh, that was rough. I was so excited. I actually went out on a limb, had this guy as a top 10 play. Just all the stars looked like they aligned for him. Now, the interesting thing here, though, is, okay, he goes out after one snap. And, you know, there's a lot of talk of, well, is it going to be Corey Graham or Duke Williams? You know, that was the thing, along with Aaron Williams in this secondary. And that's not actually what we saw happen, though. Not Duke Williams coming out and replacing Corey Graham when he goes out. It was actually Bakari Rambo, so that was kind of interesting. I mean, I don't think there's much to see here. You know, if we look, if you're relying on Graham, which maybe you are, we look to the practice reports. Graham limited on Thursday and Wednesday and Thursday. I don't have Friday's results as of the time of the recording of this show, but the fact that he's getting limited work in. He's obviously in the protocol, so we'll see if he can get through, but at least he's not completely sidelined. Either way, you're not going to run out and get Bakari Rambo in your lineups this week. As expected, it was Nigel Bradham and Preston Brown playing every snap for the Bills. Bradham was a better fantasy option, had 8 total tackles, 7 solos, and a sack. Brown managed 6 total tackles. 2 of them were recorded as solos. Hey, I've said it all along, it's Bradham, and I think Bradham is an upside LB2 option, especially when he plays at home. Brown just does not record tackles at enough a high enough rate for me to really like him as anything more than really an LB4. And there's really no debate for me here. Bradham's the guy you want. Mario Williams put up a fantasy goose egg. Go figure, a defensive lineman did that. Are you pressing the panic button? No, of course you should know by now. You're not pressing the panic button after week 1. That's just not what we do, okay? That's not wise. This is what happens with defensive linemen. He could very well go out this week and put up 3 sacks. Now, do I think he's going to do that against Tom Brady? No, I don't. But this is what happens with defensive linemen. These are the breaks. If you're going after a sack-dependent defensive lineman, you're going to get some fantasy goose eggs. Don't do something stupid like drop him. Remember that Robert Quinn owners from last year. Oh, the sky was falling, and he ended up with 10.5 sacks. Come on. This is just what happens. All right, so moving along. I already talked about Carolina, so the next on the list would be Chicago. Shay McClone and Christian Jones playing every down. McClone had 8 total tackles, 4 solo. Jones had 7 total tackles, 4 solo. Yeah, this is about what we can expect. I think Jones is the slightly better fantasy option, but I'm not going crazy on him. I still like him in that LB3 range, and I think McClellan is right in that range as well. Of course, he does have DL eligibility, which is ridiculous at ESPN. He's an inside linebacker, but he has DL eligibility, so, you can play him at the defensive line, and he is right in that maybe top 15, top 20 range there based on his tackle production. Adrian Amos, now locked in as an every-down starter along with Antrell Roll, had 5 total tackles, all recorded as a solo last week. Hey, this is good news. Amos is now in that streamer DB3 range, and he's on that range. He's on the radar, so make sure you make note of that. Moving to Cincinnati, it was Vincent Ray as the lone every-down linebacker for the Bengals. Posted 9 total tackles, 6 solo. Anyone hoping to get anything out of AJ Green is pretty good. AJ Green was actually on our SiriusXM show this week, but AJ Hawk, well, you're not going to get anything. He's officially droppable Don't worry about him whatsoever. Pac-Man Jones put up 10 total tackles, and he was among one of the highest graded corners for week one. Impressive play out of Pac-Man, and played the run really well. So this now puts him squarely on the radar in CB required leagues. I don't mind it, you know, and plus, you know, just the fact that he is now out there as an every down corner, not a slot guy, not a nickel guy. That bodes positively, so you have to like that. I wouldn't expect double-digit tackles every week, but you do like what you see out of Pac-Man Jones in week one there. Moving to Cleveland, that rotation, that Craig Robertson, Christian Kirksey rotation continued last week, but we might not see it this week because Carlos Dansby is dealing with a foot injury, has missed practice all 3 days this week, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we actually had Kevin Jones, who's a beat writer for the Cleveland Browns, and an awesome dude, by the way. If you're not following Kevin Jones on Twitter, make sure you are. He's fantastic with what he does. And he said that Dansby would essentially play football for free. That's how much this guy loves the game and how much he wants to get out on the field. However, you know, injuries have sidelined him in the past, and if he ends up being sidelined here, it would be Craig Robertson as the every down guy. Kirksey would be out there along with him, and not sure if Kirksey would be playing every down, so we won't want to take a stab on him. But Craig Robertson would be the guy to fire up. I consider him an LB3 this week if Dansby is unable to go, so something to consider there. Against those Tennessee Titans. Moving to Dallas, Randy Gregory out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Sean Lee, not injured. Yes, not injured. We love it. We're happy. I'm one of the biggest Sean Lee supporters out there, and he led the team with 9 total tackles, 7 solo. So let's keep it going, Sean Lee. Fingers crossed this week. Talked about Denver earlier, not going to talk about him again. In Detroit, DeAndre Levy was sidelined, and you knew that, hopefully. I did see some people who, unfortunately, started him. Didn't get the news, but he was sidelined. Steven Tulloch, you know, the lone every down guy, Josh Bynes coming in and playing for Levy, not playing every down. Weird news coming out about this. Now, there was a report that it was some kind of parasite that he contracted in Chile over the summer. This is now his agent is denying these claims. I don't know what's going on. I really don't know. But what we do know, okay, that's all we can operate on. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not in this to speculate. So here's what we do know about DeAndre Levy. He didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday. That's what we don't know right now. That's it. Or that what we do know right now. That's it. It doesn't sound good, okay? And there are weird conflicting reports about this. You know, numerous reports saying, oh, he might need surgery, he might not need this and that and the third. I don't know, but this is not good. So if you're a DeAndre Levy owner, pay close attention to this one going into this weekend. This one might be a situation where you might be without him again, and that means we fire up Steven Tulloch again, borderline LB1 again. So you do like that if you're a Tulloch owner. Levy, not so much. Before we go any further, I do want to tell you about our sponsor, DraftKings. Of course, you know Daily Fantasy Football is, well, it's everywhere, and it's awesome. There's a reason why it's everywhere. It is completely awesome. It's so different, yet so similar to what we do in our season-long leagues. But the best part about it is you don't have to deal with these players being injured and the frustration of having to navigate the waiver wire week in and week out. You just go on. You've done all the research anyway. You construct your salary, your lineup based on the salaries. And you pick up your cash afterwards, so you can't beat that. So head on over to DraftKings.com right now. That's America's favorite one-week fantasy site. And use the promo code PFF. That's going to get you a free entry using the promo code PFF. It'll get you a free entry into the $1 million guaranteed play action contest for this week. So head on over to DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Back to the action here. And we're just plowing through these teams. So moving over to Green Bay, Sam Barrington, foot injury that is now landed him on injured reserve. That's tough because Barrington was a player who a lot of people did like as a potential breakout this year, playing every down on the inside for the Packers. Nate Palmer replaced him, played every snap. He had 7 total tackles, 6 solos. Nate Palmer is a guy who now is fantasy relevant, and he's a guy who I ran out in the PFF Dynasty League and the Sirius XM Dynasty League, and I picked him up in both leagues. So we're going to see a lot of Nate Palmer going forward. Of course, Clay Matthews still playing on the inside and the outside. So what he's doing is he's playing on the inside base down packages, or base packages, base downs, and then kicking outside. Now he had 6 total tackles last game. Solid. Julius Peppers had a sack and a half, but only 3 pressures. So I'd like to see those pressures higher, you know, more like what we talked about with Ware and Miller earlier. But still, I mean, you have to like that. Just don't go too overboard with Peppers unless, of course, it's a format where he is DL eligible. Yes, man. So, hey, there, of course, you do like him. Morgan Burnett sidelined last week, so hopefully you caught that news. You got him out of your lineup. He got limited practice in on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, so we're going to have to see. He's downgraded to DNP, no practice on Friday. That's not a good sign. If he gets a full practice in, it's obviously a very good sign against Seattle. Without him on the field, Clinton Dix put up 7 total tackles, 6 solo. Keep an eye on it. If Burnett plays, there, you know, I get these questions all the time, and actually this is probably a good time to talk about this. I get these questions. Is he going to be rotated? No. If he's playing, he's playing. They're not going to rotate this guy. It's not, you know, that's not what they do with these sorts of players. If he's good enough to go, he's going to be used as he always is. You know, this is a different, very different situation than what we'd see with somebody like Trevathan. You know, and even there, that could be Trevathan's role. We don't really know. You know, there's speculation there. But if Burnett is good enough to go, he is good enough to go, and they're going to play him as he ordinarily is played. So keep an eye on that one. In Houston, J.J. Watt is really good. You know that. 7 quarterback pressures, 9 total tackles, 6 tackles for a loss. That is not even fair. And if you watched the broadcast last night, that is what we would call Star Wars numbers. I still don't know what that means. I tweeted out, is a Star Wars number R2-D2? Is that a Star Wars number? I don't really. Anyway, I think he meant video game numbers. But, you know, whatever. Eddie Pleasant is not the starting strong safety. Quentin Demps is. So keep that in mind. I know a lot of people took a flyer on Pleasant. You can kick him back to waivers. Quentin Demps is the guy. I don't think you want to own him for fantasy purposes, though. Moving to Indianapolis. If you followed what I did in the preseason process, in the pre-draft process, every year, essentially what I'll do is around mid-February, I take a couple weeks off after that Super Bowl. It's a long season, it's a grind, and it's one of the few times of the year where we have a little bit of downtime. So I actually kind of avoid football for about 2 weeks. But then I get the itch to get right back in, and that's when I dive into all the college prospects. And that's on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And start putting together some pre-draft dynasty rankings. And I know that there's really no merit to it, because everything changes once you have the draft, but there is merit. And the merit actually is the fact that you can kind of get a sense of who these players are before the draft happens, right? And they're on an even playing field. It's not going to be impacted by their landing spots, which certainly changes everything, but it's just sort of how do they rank out? And certainly before, you know, in the pre-draft process, a player who stood out, he stood out to the analysts at College Football Focus, he stood out to me, is Henry Anderson out of Stanford. Just looked like one of the best pass rushers in this class. Now, of course, we knew he was going to be a 3-4 defensive end, so, you know, an interior guy, 5-tech, but the potential was there. The writing was on the wall. And, you know, against my better judgment even, I kind of was like, you know, all right, well, I don't really know. Indianapolis. And then, of course, he's going to be buried. Arthur Jones is there, and I kind of buried him a little bit on my rankings as a result. And, you know, that's where that subjectivity comes into play. But Arthur Jones lands on injured reserve, and then all of a sudden Anderson is thrust into a significant role. Now, I wouldn't say every down, but he's a starter, and he's playing a lion's share of the snaps. And look what he did in week one. 9 total tackles, 8 solo. Now, putting it into context, context is always important. This was in Buffalo, okay? If you don't know what that means, read my tackle reports, okay? That means that obviously his numbers were inflated. But the important thing is he got 3 tackles for a loss. That is really what stands out to me. That means he was disruptive. And he did play 51 of 59 defensive snaps. He's locked in. And this guy is definitely now on the radar. You're getting that nice tackle production out of him. So he's a guy who we should be considering as essentially a DL3 plus going forward. By the way, CO Moore, folks, he didn't play any snaps. You drop him. At this point, just drop him. Moving to Jacksonville, Paul Posluszny showed no ill effects of that injury that sidelined him last year and ended his season. So that's good. Both Posluszny and Telvin Smith put up 9 total tackles. Dan Scuda was, he put up 7 total tackles, but he wasn't an every down player. So, you know, don't be misled by the fantasy stats. He is not somebody who you want to add to your rosters. Be very careful. Always put things into context and look deeper. Jelani Jenkins and Ko Amisi were the every down guys for Miami. So that's interesting. We thought it was going to be Kelvin Shepard. That's what everybody was saying. And it ends up Kelvin Shepard rotates with Zach Vigil. So that's not good. We have Misi and Jenkins topping double-digit tackles. Context is important. This was in Washington. Washington is now essentially they're a top 5 venue for tackle production. It's going to be more assist-heavy, but still you're going to get a lot of total tackles there. So keep that in mind here. Keep that in mind also with Rashad Jones putting up 12 total tackles. Yes, I love Rashad Jones, but 7 solo tackles there. So that just shows you he's an elite fantasy option, but we do have some concerns with Jones entering this week. Keep in mind, he missed practice on Wednesday. He got a limited session in on Thursday and Friday. So I do at least have their Friday results, their practice report. So just keep that in mind. I mean, he's a questionable. This looks like it's going to come down to a game time decision. And you know, if you're looking to get Jones in there, you might want to have a backup plan in place. I don't think that backup plan is in Miami too, by the way. So look elsewhere. Mentioned Cameron Wake. Well, Cameron Wake and Olivier Vernon posted fantasy goose eggs. These are the breaks, right? This is just what happens with your defensive linemen. Bigger days are ahead, for both of them. Vernon was banged up a little bit too. He caught a cut block and, that certainly impacted him. You know, he was out for several series. So no worries there with either player, though. It's not like that all of a sudden the two of them forgot how to play football. It was just a matter of the opponent and the opportunities, not too concerned here. Am concerned, though, I am, with Chad Greenway and Gerald Hodges. The only every down linebacker for the Vikings was Anthony Barr. He was really good, by the way, on Monday night. You probably saw a little bit of that if you were watching that game, if you could sit through that awful broadcast. Oh, boy. Anyway, what was Chris Berman calling the stadium? I don't want to even talk about it. 12 total tackles, 10 solo for Anthony Barr. Chad Greenway and Gerald Hodges were coming off the field in nickel situations. Eric Hendricks was coming on the field. Okay, but this was only for 10 snaps. That means that Greenway and Hodges are not going to be fantasy relevant, or they're not going to be valuable guys for us for fantasy purposes. We want to move on from those guys unless this changes. Kendricks is still off the fantasy radar right now, too. Anthony Barr is the only linebacker who we want to own for fantasy purposes in Minnesota. I talked about the Patriots last week. I'm not really going to rehash this, but just remember that Gerard Mayo was only playing base down snaps. And that was only 9 snaps against the Steelers. Of course, they're rolling with a lot of nickel there. Hightower coming off the field in dime situations. But Jamie Collins, those worried about Jamie Collins, don't be. He still has top 10 fantasy upside. Dante Hightower is now on the radar, LB3 range with weekly LB2 upside. This week, I would say certainly consider him in that LB2 range, though, because of the Buffalo stats crew. So Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower, very strong plays. Unfortunately, Jerod Mayo, we just can't trust. So you have that. I would feel comfortable with dropping Jerod Mayo at this point. In New Orleans, Stephon Anthony playing every down. Haloi Kakaha. That's going to be a hard one to say. I've learned how to spell it now. He was out there for 95% of the snaps. David Hawthorne played 22 of 62 snaps. David Hawthorne off the fantasy radar. Anthony squarely there. And Kakaha offers some pass rushing upside too. So I do like him as a player now in that LB4 range. We're going to keep monitoring him. And, you know, hey, if you're in deeper leagues, he is definitely somebody who we want to own. With John Beeson out, John Beeson was hurt. Come on, John Beeson was hurt. Stop the presses. But yeah, he was hurt. Yuani Unga played every down, and he put up 12 total tackles, 10 solos, and an interception. You know, in most leagues, most scoring formats, he was probably the highest scoring fantasy linebacker. You know, how crazy is that? So here's the moral of the story. Yuani Unga is the next coming of Ray Lewis. Of course he's not. He's not. He didn't play very well. This was a matter of volume and opportunity. And if he plays again, he's going to have volume and opportunity with Beeson. If Beeson is sidelined again this weekend, and hey, we know John Beeson. What do we think the odds are here? Now, he did get limited work in on Thursday. I don't have the Friday report for the Giants, but we could expect Beeson to potentially be sidelined again. Unga deserved, or he at least earned the trust to stay out there every down. So he would be the guy, you know, in a good matchup this week against the Atlanta Falcons with that favorable home stats crew. So keep an eye on that one. In New York with the Jets, Calvin Pryor put up an impressive 10 total tackles, 8 solo, and he looked every bit of the sleeper that we thought he was going to be. He's now a top 15 option. I wouldn't drop like Jonathan Cyprian for him or somebody like that. I did get some questions about that, and Cyprian's a bit little banged up right now. Keep that in mind, but still not dropping some of these top 10 guys. But Pryor, again, putting things into context, played in front of a favorable home crew, but he's a guy who now is going to get a lot of opportunities for tackles, and he's squarely now in the DB2 conversation. In Oakland, both the safeties are gone. Nate Allen is gone for the season. Charles Woodson dealing with a shoulder injury that appears like it will potentially sideline him this weekend. He did get limited work in on Thursday, but doesn't sound promising. That would leave Larry Asante and Keenan Lambert as your starters for the Oakland Raiders. Consider that if you are going up against them for fantasy purposes, your quarterback, et cetera, your running back, all that. But Asante, well, hey, if you're in a super deep league and you need some help at defensive back, we've seen this guy put up some decent fantasy numbers in the past. 8 total tackles, 7 solo last week. So DB, streamer, consideration, of course. Malcolm Smith and Ray Armstrong were in the sub packages over Curtis Lofton. Lofton is now safe to drop. Malcolm Smith is the preferred fantasy option for IDP purposes. Alden Smith only came in pass rushing situations. He's just the guy to monitor right now. Until that changes, he's not on your fantasy lineups. Kiko Alonso. Well, here we go, folks. D'Amico Ryan started this game alongside Michael Kendricks. And what we saw, at least initially, was Alonso coming off the field in nickel situations. So Ryan's the base down, Alonso the nickel linebacker. And I think that's what we're really going to see here. Now, in kind of chatting on Twitter and stuff, and the sense is that we kind of get that Ryan's it's kind of a management thing. How are you feeling? Are you still feel you still good to go? Okay, cool. Now, if you're not good to go, we can put Kiko out there every down. But if you okay, you're good to go, because that's what we saw in the second half. Kiko played every down, and it probably was a matter of okay, Ryan's feeling a little bit. And you remember he's coming back, and they really still like this guy, and he's a better base down linebacker than Alonzo. Alonzo looked really suspect. You know, we look at Tevin Coleman wasn't doing that well in the first half in terms of yardage, and then all of a sudden he put up some decent runs in the second half. That was Kiko Alonzo, okay? So, you know, keep that in mind. Alonzo now really out of fantasy consideration for me, and unless he actually locks up an every now and roll, I don't think we can consider him for fantasy purposes. I know that's not what you want to hear, but this one is not good. We'll see how they use their linebackers against Dallas, but I am not starting Kiko Alonso this week. Right now, Michael Kendrick's the only linebacker we can trust for fantasy purposes in Philadelphia. In Pittsburgh, Will Allen looked like he was maybe a bit of a player there. You know, he put up some decent numbers, and I talked about them before. But Will Allen, a DB3 streamer type. Moving right along, though, I don't want to rehash Pittsburgh again. Eric Weddle, elite, you know that. Manti Te'o playing over Donald Butler in the sub packages, so Te'o would be the Chargers linebacker to own. I think at best, though, we're looking at LB3, probably more like an LB4 with Te'o. Don't read the box score, or don't read too much into the box score, too, by the way, because Butler had more fantasy points than Te'o, but Te'o is the guy to own there. Michael Bennett looked very, very good for the Seahawks. Four quarterback pressures, had four tackles, he had a sack. You know, Michael Bennett is a guy who is, you know, definitely a DL2 at this point for us. Navarro Bowman is awesome. Wow. Seven total tackles and a sack on Monday night. But the more important thing is the other linebacker position. Michael Wilhoit was playing nickel situation, or was playing in the nickel in the past, but not on Monday night. On Monday night, what they did is they brought in Jaquiski Tartt, the rookie, to play for Wilhoit in nickel situation. So Tartt's sort of a linebacker safety tweener. Think kind of like Deion Buchanan, that type of player. And so this is really intriguing. That means Will Hoyt has no fantasy value for IDP purposes. And Tartt is a player to monitor. Like, it's, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't know what the future holds for him. In Dynasty Leagues, I'm definitely grabbing this guy if I can, if it's a deeper league, because he was very impressive. He recorded four tackles and a sack in just 20 snaps on the field. Aaron Donald is awesome, but let's put it this way. He had two sacks on three quarterback pressures. That sort of sack conversion rate is not sustainable. So, you know, if you're thinking this guy's going to go out and put up 16 sacks or something like that, I don't think so. Double digit wouldn't surprise me if he cracks 10, but I think we're going to see immediate regression here. But more importantly, he had nine total tackles, five solo. We're going to continue to see him put up decent tackle numbers. So Aaron Donald, now a DL2. Robert Quinn remains a high-end DL1. Two sacks on five quarterback pressures. Now, I like that number a little bit better. Again, two sacks, you know, converting at that rate, 40%, that's too high. We're typically going to see these guys, the elite guys, converting 20 to 25% of their quarterback pressures for sacks on a season. So still a little regression in store, but you got to like that. It was the Seahawks offensive line was just terrible. So that bodes positively for matchups in going forward here. By the way, Mark Barron was used as a sort of hybrid linebacker. He only played 26.5% of the snaps in week one, but very, very interesting as well. And he did have five total tackles, two solo in the process. So there you have it with Mark Barron, your Mark Barron update. Levante David struggled, but bigger days are ahead. Quan Alexander also struggled in week one. I think the whole team just struggled against the Titans. Bigger days are ahead. We did see a little bit of a rotation on the other side of the ball with Avery Williamson and Wesley Woodyard. This could be nothing, but it's something that I do want to keep a close eye on going forward here. Also, you know, a lot of people are asking about Daquan Jones after he put up seven total tackles in week one. This is probably the high watermark for him. He played just over 50% of the snaps for the Titans, and we just probably won't see enough snaps out of him to maintain any sort of production like this. So if you're looking just at fantasy points and making waiver decisions, that's not a really good strategy here. So keep that in mind with Daquan Jones. And last and certainly not least, well, maybe least, nah, that's an Eagles fan in me saying it, but the Washington Redskins, Duke Iheanacho is on injured reserve. That's tough because it looked like he had the potential to put up some decent fantasy numbers there. Jason Hatcher and Ryan Kerrigan posted 4 quarterback pressures. Hatcher notched a full sack and Kerrigan got a half sack. So that does bode positively here. Hatcher's a guy who we might want to look at in some deeper leagues as a defensive lineman who we can possibly roll out there and get us some points. He's a little inconsistent. Keep that in mind. And don't expect that resurgence of what he did back in Dallas. But Kerrigan is awesome. Kerrigan is awesome. Watch Kerrigan play. Kerrigan is awesome. Okay. Anyway, that's going to do it. So hopefully you got all the information you need to know to get you a victory in week 2. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter if you're not already, at Jeff Ratcliffe. You can like me on Facebook. Maybe Twitter's not your thing. Look me up on Facebook. It's /Jeff.Ratcliffe.NFL. Give me a like. I really appreciate that. Of course, you can listen to the show on Blog Talk Radio and Stitcher. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. You can watch the show on the Fantasy Sports Network and on YouTube. Hey, I'm going to be around on Sunday mornings as well. Make sure you listen to me on Sirius XM with the legendary Mike Clay. We are on from 10 to 11 on Mondays through Fridays, weekdays, and then, of course, on Sunday mornings as well, same time. And then I'm going to be doing the War Room with Pat Thorman, 11:30 to 12, there you go, Eastern Standard Time every Sunday morning. And I'm also doing Roto Grinders Live at 7:30 on Thursday nights before the game, before kickoff. So I'm kind of, I don't know, everywhere. But anyway, enough about me. This is about you. Good luck to you this weekend. Thank you for listening. So for Pro Football Focus, I'm Jeff, and that is a wrap. PFF Radio is powered by Pro Football Focus. Follow PFF Radio on Twitter, at PFF Radio. Also follow us on Twitter, at PFF_fantasy. Join the conversation and like us on Facebook, and +1 us on Google+.